So you're staring at your weekly fantasy opponent and thinking to yourself, I would love to challenge just one of his players, not his entire team. But your fantasy sports service doesn't allow that. Well, now you can with the all-new No Halftime app. The No Halftime app allows you to create challenges using individual players. You can pit LeBron James versus Steph Curry, or Kevin Durant versus James Harden. Creating and accepting challenges is as easy as it gets. No Halftime challenges can be private or public and created for all the major sports, including college. Join today and start winning real money. Fantasy supremacy awaits you. Visit NoHalftime.com for more information and to download the No Halftime app for your iPhone. Receive a $5 bonus by entering in the promo code G42 at sign up. No Halftime, where the fantasy sports never takes a break.
You are now listening to Talk Loud Radio, sports, nerds, and pop culture.
What is going on? All right, welcome to goingfor2.com's press coverage podcast presented by Talk Loud Radio. I am, of course, your host, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. That's Jeff spelled G-E-O-F-F. We have a great show coming to y'all today, but first I just wanted to mention a couple things. First, you may have noticed when we opened up, we actually have a sponsor now. The sponsor is called No Halftime. It's an iOS iPhone app that basically allows you to pit player versus player. Very similar to DFS, only you don't pick an entire team. You just say, I put $5 on LeBron James versus Steph Curry, or I'm taking Kevin Durant versus James Harden. You know, whatever the case may be, you can create challenges yourself. They can be public, they can be private. You can just challenge your friends, you know, whatever. You can put, you know, $5, $10, $15, whatever. I actually play it myself. It's pretty fun. It's pretty easy. You really can't mess up. There's no huge amount of research involved like in Daily Fantasy where you got to research a lineup and who costs the most and what's the good value plays are. You basically just say straight up, you know, is LeBron going to have more fantasy points than Steph Curry? And you put your money on it, and then you watch the games and hope that your guy comes out on top. So please definitely check that out. It's currently iOS only, but I've been told they are working on an Android version. So be on the lookout for that as well. But for you iPhone users, just go to the App Store, type in No Halftime. When you register your account, make sure you put in promo code G42. That's G, the number 4, and the number 2. And you'll get $5 free. So you can basically play your first challenge of $5. You can play for free. You can win real money. They do have free contests if you want to sort of test it out before you actually put any money on it. So definitely check that out, guys. I encourage it. It's pretty fun, pretty easy to set up. All right, let's see what else. We should be on iTunes within the next few days. I actually submitted my application to be put on iTunes and it was approved. They just say it takes a few days for it to start showing up in search engines and such like that. So be on the lookout for that. I'll make sure to put out all the links and everything else so you can subscribe. We'll be on Stitcher shortly as well. I also applied to that. That takes a little bit longer than iTunes, but once we're there, I will let you know. For those of you that are on Stitcher, and Google Play is also coming. Google Play unfortunately requires me to be on iTunes first, so once I get the iTunes link and all that good stuff, I will get us on Google Play so you can follow us on Google Play as well. Alright, so some of y'all may be wondering what we're going to do today since there is no Daily Fantasy for about a week. Me and Gerson were talking earlier today, and I'm sure a lot of the NBA fans have seen these on Facebook by now. Basically, it's a picture of two... you know, one former NBA star and one current NBA star, and the headline is, who is better? You know, who you got? Basically, it's a poll. You know, so they're pitting, you know, LeBron James versus Michael Jordan, or Kobe Bryant versus LeBron James, or there's a couple of them that are even current players versus current players. So it kind of got me and Gerson thinking that we should do a show like that. We'll basically pick out a couple of the key matchups, you know, a couple of the, you know, players that are compared throughout history, you know, Tim Duncan versus Shaquille O'Neal, for example. And we're just going to kind of debate it. We're just going to kind of, you know, he'll give me his side, I'll give him my side. Gerson's a little bit younger than me, so he's more of the new school kind of player or kind of fan, whereas I'm old school. You know, I'm 38 years old, so, you know, I was around when Chicago Bulls were winning championships. He may have caught a couple towards the end, you know, there, but he was still pretty young. So it'll be an interesting little show that we're going to put together for y'all, so I hope you like it. So after we get back from the break, we will have Gerson.
Going for Two, your number one source for fantasy sports with top-notch fantasy sports advice, an exclusive community forum, and some of the best and most knowledgeable writers in fantasy sports. Visit today at going42.com. That's going42.com. Going for Two features NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, and more. And they also provide the best advice for your FanDuel, DraftKings, or daily fantasy sports site. Sign up for the Going for Two newsletter and get updates immediately through your email. And while you're on the site, make sure you check out the exclusive section, Why I Hate. That's going42.com, G-O-I-N-G-F-O-R, the number two. Going42.com. Go visit and get the inside scoop of everything fantasy sports.
All right, guys, welcome back. Welcome back. So we are here with Gerson on the phone, and we are going to throw out a couple matchups, a couple all-time greats, so to speak, a couple current players, and just kind of ask ourselves, you know, which one's better? You know, I'm going to give Gerson the floor first. He's going to kind of go over what he thinks makes, you know, player A or player B better. Gerson's a little bit younger than me, so he may have new school outlook where, you know, I've been around. I've seen all six championships that Jordan went through. I was there when the Bad Boy Pistons were playing, so I got a little bit more old school stuff in me. So got two different of opinions here, so we're just going to go through and sort of kick this off. All right, Gerson, are you there?
Yeah, a little bit younger than you. Yeah, I guess you can say that.
How old are you exactly?
Right now I'm 26.
26. All right. So I got you by 12
years. I was there by 12 years.
Yeah, I'm 38, man. I got you by 12 years.
Dang, you don't even look that old, man.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. All right. So let's just go ahead and jump right into the first one. And this one gets brought up a lot. Especially this year with Kobe Bryant retiring. And, of course, it's the Kobe Bryant versus the Michael Jordan argument. Of course, championships always seem to come up in this argument. So give me your take. I'm not sure how much you saw of Jordan, but I'm sure you've seen plenty of highlights and you've heard people talk about him. So go ahead and give me your take. Who do you think, Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan?
I moved from California, Oakland, to Utah, and when I came to Utah, the Jazz were really good, and at that time in 95, 96, and the year before that, Jordan was the biggest thing, and everybody always talked about him. But I was young. I was probably like 5 years, no, probably 5 or 6, but I didn't follow basketball as I did now, but now that I'm living in this era, I know who he is. I know how he was, you know. Of course, you lived the Jordan era. I lived the Kobe era. So,
right.
I mean, we could go from there.
Yeah, I think the thing that gets me with Kobe is that, you know, the championships are there, obviously. You know, Kobe's got 5. Jordan's got 6. But it's the what if with Jordan that I kind of go to. Because, you know, Jordan did retire early, you know, that first time he went and played baseball. And there was basically 2 years. It was really a year and a half. But basically 2 years where he was out of basketball, you know. And the thing is, like, what if he didn't retire those 2 years? Did the Bulls win those 2 championships as well? Are we talking about them as being 8-time champions as opposed to 6-time champions? Because that Bulls team was just, I mean, it was pretty much unbeatable. I mean, they were amazing to watch. Of course, they played in an era where, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm just agreeing with you. Go ahead. Yeah. No, keep going. I'm agreeing with you.
They played in an era, too, where, you know, they were allowed to hand check. It was a lot more physical. You know, you could basically keep your guy in front of you. So when you look at the Warriors team, for example, when they're like, you know, high flying, throwing, you know, threes all over the place, you know, and driving down the hole without being touched, you know, Jordan played in an era where you go down the lane, you might get, you know, knocked on your ass, basically, you know, especially going up against those teams. So
there's no question about it.
Yeah, I definitely put Jordan ahead of Kobe. And that's just even beyond the championships, I think. I think Jordan overall, I think what he got out of his teammates, you know, the mental aspect, the defense, you know, of course, offensively, we know how good he was. So are you leaning towards Jordan on this one too?
Yeah, I'm leaning towards Jordan for several reasons. And I do agree with you. I think the Bulls probably would have had two more championships if Jordan would have stayed there. So that would have gave Jordan 8 championships. I mean, I think it's not the all-time most championship. I think Wilt had, 10 championships?
I think he has 13, actually.
13. Yeah. See? That's how old Jeff is. I mean, all the way back then.
I'm not that old.
No, but Jordan, the thing with Michael Jordan is that a lot of people don't realize that he didn't win a championship in his first 8 seasons. He just came in and played. He was getting bullied by the Pistons, by the Lakers. He couldn't do it by himself. And there's no player that can do it by themselves. I don't care who says they can do it by themselves. In my opinion, one of the best teams of all time that did it without a superstar is the Detroit Pistons when they beat the Lakers. And they beat a team with a bunch of superstars. They beat Kobe. They beat Shaq. They beat, well, Peyton and Malone were older, but they were still pretty efficient. But if we look at Kobe comparing to Jordan, they're very similar playing style, almost alike. If you look at their move, they're like identical.
Yeah,
Kobe copied Michael.
Yeah, they had a video that actually showed a lot of things that Kobe did that Michael did as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry,
go ahead.
Kobe made his game just like Michael. The thing was with Kobe Bryant, if we look at it, he had Shaquille O'Neal. He had Rick Fox, Robert Horry, Dennis Fisher. Then Jordan had Pippen, Rodman, Luke Longley, Kerr. The list goes on. Ron Harper. The way I always put it with Kobe and Jordan is, they had the same coaches, you know, but Jordan did struggle earlier in his year. But Kobe, he just came into the league at such a young age. He came into the league right out of high school. But at the same time, Jordan has 10 scoring titles. Kobe has 2. Jordan has a defensive player of the year. Kobe has 0. Jordan has 9 all defense first team. Kobe has 9 as well. But I always say this, and from what you're saying, the eras are different. I mean, in Jordan's era, you couldn't go across the... I mean, Kobe would have never dropped 81 points in Jordan's era, ever. In Michael Jordan to Kobe's era, if in his prime, obviously Jordan could have dropped 100 points. But
yeah, I agree. Go ahead.
At the same time, Kobe has 5 championships. Jordan has 6. So Jordan has the advantage there. But we gotta look at all this stuff. I mean, there's so much comparison. I mean, Kobe never won a championship without Phil Jackson. He never won a championship. I mean, after Phil Jackson was gone, he struggled every single time. I mean, Jordan, if you take Jordan and you think about his career, the Bulls didn't win a championship without Jordan, of course. But when Jordan left and retired, they still went to the Western Conference Final. This team was still good. Of course, they still had Phil Jackson coaching.
Yeah.
When Kobe, you know, when when Shaq left, that team went all the way down to the bottom. Kobe struggled. The season was horrible.
Yeah, they weren't even a playoff team.
Yeah. They weren't even a playoff team. And that's the thing, people, that I realize. I mean, it's not the champ. I mean, it's the championship. It makes the player. But, I mean, if we're talking about championship, then Robert Horry would be a great, great player, and he'd be in the Hall of Fame, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But we can't count a player by the championship. But we can count them by their stat. We can count them by the player they were. I mean, Michael Jordan averaged 41 points in the 1993 NBA Finals. Kobe, his highest was 32 points in the year 2009. I mean, we can go on NBA Finals, but in my opinion, I think Jordan's a better player, and he just had the it factor. He wanted to win. He wanted to get in your face. Kobe, when he got with Paul Gasol, no, he didn't have that it factor until it was his range. Before, it was all Shaquille O'Neal. They were teaming up, doing their thing, but they didn't have that it factor until Paul Gasol and he and all these other players that had put around him the second run. He had that it factor. He knew he wanted to dominate the game like Jordan did. But it took him a bit, like he had to learn a lesson, you know? Jordan always had it. And that's why I always lean against Jordan. I mean, the scoring titles and everything he's done to the game of basketball. So I like Jordan better in this one.
All right. So that's one we actually agree on. Now, the second one we have on my list here, I'm going to go ahead and skip that because we kind of just killed it with Jordan a little bit too much. So the next one had Jordan involved as well. So we're going to skip over that one. We're going to go to the next one on the list that I got here. And it might be a little bit early for this comparison, but I think they're very similar players. And that's Kawhi Leonard versus Scottie Pippen. Of course, both play small forward, both very defensive-minded guys, but can do everything, pretty much score, assist, rebound, the whole nine. Now, Kawhi is still pretty early in his career. He's just now getting sort of the reins of the Spurs team. But what do you think about this one? Who are you taking in this Kawhi Leonard, Scottie Pippen, if you can get them both in their prime?
Well, I think we're going to agree to disagree, to be honest. I think I know who you're going to pick, but I'm probably going to pick the opposite guy. When it's all said and done, I think Kawhi Leonard will be the better player. Are you going with Scottie Pippen?
I am taking Scottie Pippen, but go ahead. Defend your Kawhi Leonard.
The reason why is because Kawhi Leonard has yet to take the reins of being that player, being the focal point. And he already succeeded enough to know that we know he's something special. Scottie Pippen was great. Don't get me wrong. I've always liked him. I mean, I was a fan of Scottie Pippen before I was a fan of Michael Jordan. That says anything. But Kawhi Leonard, when we look at him, how old is he right now? I think he's 24, 25.
Yeah, he's pretty young.
Hold on. He's still pretty young. I mean, this guy came, he got drafted by the Indiana Pacers, I believe, 15th overall, and then San Antonio made a trade for him. There's a reason why, because, I mean, Popovich is not going to pick a player and trade for him if it's not for a reason, you know? Of course, Scottie Pippen has more rings. Pippen has 6 more rings. Kawhi Leonard right now has 1, but it's still pretty young. And the way I put it, it all depends on Popovich. But the reason why I took Kawhi Leonard, he's 24 or 25, and he averaged.
I just looked it up, yeah.
Okay. Rebounds per game, we have Scottie Pippen at 6.4, and then Kawhi Leonard at 6.2. Assists per game, Scottie was a better passer, no matter what. He had like 5 assists a game, and Kawhi Leonard only had like 2. And steals per game, very similar, 1.8 to 2.0. Blocks per game, 0.8 to 0.7. So very similar in that way. But the reason why I picked Kawhi Leonard, because I think he's a better offensive player than Scottie Pippen. And when I mean an offensive player, he's a better scorer. So when he improves over the years, he's going to be a more elite superstar. And in this era, he's going to be able to do it because in the Scottie Pippen era, I mean, you couldn't be a superstar unless you were elite shooting, you were an elite shooter, or you were fast. Just basically, you had to be quick. But in this era, with Kawhi Leonard, you have Duncan, you have Manu, you have Parker. I mean, you have Greg Popovich always sitting the players. You have LaMarcus Aldridge. I mean, he hasn't gotten his chance to flourish. He hasn't gotten his full opportunity to be that elite player that everybody's waiting for him to be. But if we look at his per 36 minutes, he's great. If he gets his 36 minutes, but imagine the usage. If he got more usage and he became the focal point, I think he can have a better career than Scottie Pippen. And I'm not talking like championship-wise, because I don't see him winning six championships, but I'm talking like stack-wise, you know. But I'm going to choose Kawhi Leonard over Scottie Pippen. I mean, of course, Pippen, I mean, he has, what, 17 seasons in the NBA? Kawhi only has 5? I mean, so that's my reason. I like Kawhi Leonard better.
Okay, all right. Well, here, let me tell you what I think Scottie Pippen and why I take him over Kawhi. Now, again, this is a little bit of an unfair comparison because Kawhi has only been in the league for 4 or 5 years, where, you know, Scottie Pippen's obviously retired. We know his whole career and what he was. But a couple things that I'm going to use to argue with you, and one is you're talking about Kawhi Leonard taking the reins and sort of being the San Antonio Spurs, you know, go-to guy. You know, usage will go through the roof. Scottie Pippen played behind Michael Jordan his entire career, up until the end when he played for Portland for a while. He never was given the reins. You know, he was always second fiddle to Michael Jordan, yet he still put up all those numbers that compare to Kawhi Leonard's currently as far as playing behind a star player. That would be like comparing, you know, the second best player on LeBron James's team and saying that this guy, despite playing second fiddle, is still one of the top 50 NBA players in the entire history of the game. So that alone to me is an amazing stat. And then if you look at the year that Jordan did not play, the argument was, you know, who is the best player in the NBA? Was it Scottie Pippen or was it Hakeem Olajuwon? You know, so when he was given that 1 year, not only did he, you know, do well, he was considered to be one of the top two players in the entire NBA. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm going to use as my argument, is sort of that he's, like I said, he played second fiddle to Jordan his entire career. And then, you know, he averaged, you know, 5 assists per game at the small forward. He basically revolutionized the small forward position, you know, with he played sort of a point forward. A lot of times Pippen would bring the ball down the court and get the offense set up because Ron Harper wasn't a true point guard. And of course, Steve Kerr, when he came off the bench, you know, obviously wasn't a true point guard either, whereas Pippen pretty much ran the offense. So I'm giving the edge to Scottie Pippen now. Sorry, guys, we actually lost the call. So the next segment you'll hear is when I got him back on the phone. Sorry about that. We lost him real quick. So just to sum it up real quick, Gerson's got Kawhi finishing ahead of Pippen once it's all said and done. And I've got Pippen basically as a top small forward in my eyes. All right, so let's move on to two big men. One of them is still playing in the NBA. He's toward the end of his career. He's already retired. We got the big fundamental, of course, Tim Duncan, old man Riverwalk, versus Shaquille O'Neal, Shaq. So who do you got in this matchup here? Who do you take out of these two? These two you've probably seen, you know, in your early years here.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to name, like, all his nicknames, you know? Like,
no, I wasn't going to go through.
Big Diesel. You know? I mean, this guy's funny. I love the guy. I seriously can't wait till his Hall of Fame speech. It's going to be the most hilarious Hall of Fame speech ever. I can't wait. But, you know, this one was really, really hard for me. And I don't know how hard it was for you, but it was really, really hard for me. I'm a big fan of fundamentals. I'm a big fan of, you know, being a leader. I'm a big fan of defense. And the reason why I lean towards this way is more because of the defense. Tim Duncan. I'm going to pick Tim Duncan. The reason why I like Tim Duncan, not only because he has 5 championship rings compared to Shaquille O'Neal for a championship ring, but it's his defense that made me decide what I wanted to pick. I didn't know this, but Shaquille O'Neal has no all defensive first team, none, zero. He, all defensive team, Shaq has three, but all defensive first team, Tim Duncan has eight, Shaq has three. I'm guessing his second all defensive team, but all total, Tim Duncan has 15.
Wow.
And Shaq has two scoring titles. But the thing is, when it comes to me, what made me go towards Duncan was the defense. I mean, it's so close. And it's so crazy how close their stats is. But I'm going to pick Tim Duncan. I just think Tim Duncan is fundamental. He's fun to watch. I'm not saying Shaquille O'Neal is not fun to watch. But when it came later in his years, when he played with, like, Boston and, like, Phoenix, I didn't enjoy that. I thought he should have retired a little bit before. I mean, I thought he was just on the heavier side because he thought he was dominating. But, I mean, after he left Miami, I didn't think he was anything good. But if we look at Tim Duncan nowadays, he's still great. I mean, still a great defensive force. I believe right now, in the NBA right now this year, the Spurs are giving up 8 more points per game when Tim Duncan sits. When he plays, they give less than 8 points less. That shows you how valuable Tim Duncan is. I mean, it's not only fundamental, but it's also the IQ, the way he coaches people, the way he's a leader. I never really considered Shaquille O'Neal a great leader. I've always considered him a great player. And he's a great person off the court, too. But I have to lean toward Tim Duncan. He probably wasn't the greatest, as good a scoring as Shaquille O'Neal, but he's more of a complete package all around.
Yeah, I think for me, see, I'm going to kind of go with the political answer here, because I think if you're looking at the totality of Tim Duncan's career, I think there's no question that Tim Duncan wins. Because, I mean, basically from the moment he came into the NBA until even this year, I mean, he's still Tim Duncan. He's not, you know, sort of living out his last year as like a role player on the bench, you know, playing 8-10 minutes a game. You know, he's still, like you said, he's still a very important piece of the Spurs. He could probably play a couple more years if he wanted to. So if you look at the totality, I think it's Tim Duncan hands down. Now, if we were to take Shaquille O'Neal in his prime, you know, in those Laker days, when he was basically the most dominant force, if we were to just take those couple years, those 4 or 5, whatever, those 6 years, and I was to say, who do I want in the big game? I think I'm going to go with Shaq, only because he was so dominant. I mean, there was no one that defend him. I mean, he was just undefendable. Tim Duncan, you know, was undefendable in his own right, you know, because he's got that nasty bank shot from the shoulder that he's patented. You know, you pretty much can't defend that. But Shaquille O'Neal just owned the game from the center spot. You know, it's very hard to do that because it's a center. You're not controlling the ball. You know, you have to have somebody else feed you the ball, you know, every time down the court. And with Phil Jackson and the triangle offense, they did that with Shaquille O'Neal. So for those few years, Shaquille O'Neal was definitely the best player in the NBA. But on the totality of his career, I think it's definitely Tim Duncan, hands down, because he's still doing it. I mean, he's still a great player. And I think there's no denying it that, you know, he's done more with his years in the NBA than Shaquille O'Neal did. So I think we sort of agree on that one. I just think if we were to go right to their prime and just pick one player, it would definitely be Shaquille O'Neal for me.
And I agree with you on Shaquille O'Neal being the most dominant player. In my opinion, I think he's the most dominant player that ever played the NBA. I've never seen anybody dominate the center position like him. And I did look back in your days, you know, the Wilt Chamberlain days and stuff, yeah.
But, back in my day.
I mean, the thing is, back in their days, I mean, Wilt Chamberlain wasn't big like Shaq. He was tall, but he wasn't big. Shaq is just power, pure power. And the thing people don't realize, Shaq, when he came in as a rookie, he was pretty fit. He was buff. And, like, he was fast. I mean, this guy was dribbling the ball full court with, like, he could cross over a point guard and dunk it. But, you know, the heavier he got, the less control he had of his body. So I think if Shaq would have been lighter, he's dominant. But his post move, his IQ of the post is so good, and he still would have been better. So I think if Shaq would have been a little bit lighter, he could have been even better. But I always enjoyed Shaq.
Yeah, I think if Shaq had stayed, if he had managed to stay lighter, I think he would have probably lasted longer in the NBA. I think the heavier he got, those knees just couldn't handle all that weight, and you know, so eventually his knees gave out, his back started to give out. You know, when you put that extra weight on, you just can't.
Oh yeah,
body can't handle it.
He was diving even in the stand. I mean, he was diving in the stand, running to the fans. I mean, trying to get a ball. I mean, later in his career, because everybody was calling him old, overweight, he didn't have it anymore. So he tried to prove people wrong, and that's what I love about Shaq. He's gonna give you 110%. I'm not saying Duncan doesn't, but Shaq, even when he was old, he was trying to give his best, but. You know, even he knew when it was time to hang it up, and he hung it up.
Right, yep. All right, so this next one, we're not going to look at it from a best player, because I think if we were to look at it from just the best player, I think hands down it would go to the first guy on this list. I'm just going to take this from a best shooter of all time. So, of course, we're looking at Steph Curry, who I think on this list is probably the best player. But then I got on this list Ray Allen, Reggie Miller, and Steve Nash. Who do you take out of those four? If you need one shot at the end of the game to win the game, you know, NBA Finals, last game, whatever, who are you taking off this list?
Well, Ray Allen, because he already done it before. he done it before. I mean, the guy, it was game six against San Antonio. Chris Bosh, no, LeBron James shot the three. Everybody got to know this. I'm a big LeBron fan, so I'm saying this like it was just yesterday. I mean, I still remember I was in my living room watching it with my brother and my father, and I'm like, this game is crazy. Next thing I see is LeBron taking a three, misses. Oh, they get the rebound. LeBron takes another three, misses. Chris Bosh gets the rebound, passes it out to Ray Allen. Ray Allen takes a step back, boom, hits a three-pointer. I mean, the game was on the line, but their final was on the line too. I mean, he was clutch. He just hit it, made it, clutch. You know, I mean, you think about it, in my opinion, I think Ray Allen has one of the best spot-up shots in the NBA history. He grabs the ball, boom, can shoot it right away. So I'm taking Ray Allen.
Yeah, I agree. Ray Allen's shot is definitely by far the prettiest shot I've ever seen. Like, I mean, just how silky smooth it is. I mean, Steph Curry's got a nice shot too, but Ray Allen's is just so, I mean, when you saw him in Miami, I mean, he was toward the end of his career there, but I mean, if you go back and watch him and when he was in Seattle, you know, it was just so smooth, so nice. I'm actually going to go old school on this one as well. And I'm going to take Reggie Miller. Now, I know he's never been in the finals, or never won a finals, but he also never had the teams that some of the other guys have had. You know, he was pretty much it, Reggie Miller and a bunch of guys. But some of the games that he played against the New York Knicks, you know, obviously everybody knows the 8 points in 8 seconds or whatever it was to win a playoff game. You know, that's all fine and good. It was somewhat luck in a way. But there's a couple other games, too, that, I mean, he just killed the New York Knicks. There was one game where I think it was the third quarter, and he had, like, something crazy, like 35 points in the third quarter. And one of the shots, he literally, it was like a half court shot almost. I mean, it was like literally a few feet, you know, behind the 3-point line. There's plenty of time on the shot clock. He had no business shooting it, and he just pulled up and shot it for no reason and hit it. I mean, the guy was just unconscious. And I think he had that killer instinct. I think a lot of shooters sometimes don't have that sort of like that fire that, you know, that Michael Jordan sort of like will to win. You know, they just kind of stay outside, spot up, hit the jumpers. You know, they don't have that fire. Where Reggie Miller had that fire. I mean, he demanded, you know, his teammates to play better. You know, he had that edge where he was like, you know, this is my team. You know, we're going to win this game, and I'm going to put the team on my back, and we're going to just go. And Reggie Miller, you know, on the opposite end of Ray Allen, had one of the ugliest jump shots you will ever see. If you ever see a shot from Reggie Miller from behind when he was shooting a shot, His arm literally crossed. Like, how he shot that, I have no idea. But, I mean, if you watch the spin on his ball spun sideways. I mean, it was ridiculous how he shot that shot. But I'm going with Reggie Miller on this one. I think a lot of the new school people are going to say Steph Curry, and maybe eventually down the road we may say Steph Curry is the best shooter of all time. I think Steph Curry can get his shot off, himself better than these other guys. You know, he's, off the dribble. Oh, yeah. He's, he's doing everything as far as the shooting goes. I just think that I almost feel like sometimes Steph Curry is sort of aloof to, like, the whole stress part of the NBA. The whole, like, he doesn't seem to have that killer instinct. I know he does, but if you just look at him, I don't see the same fire that I would see, like, in Reggie Miller or, like, a Kobe Bryant or a Michael Jordan. I think he's just out there, like, having fun and just – I'm sorry, go ahead. What are you going to say?
I mean, You know the reason why, right?
Why is that?
Because he's so small.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about Reggie Miller, the guy was like, what, 6'9", 6'8", I think? He was pretty tall. I know and I mean, I know Red Allen was short and stuff, but I mean, Stephen Curry is like 190 pounds and like 6'3", 6'2", I think. But the thing that I enjoy so much about Reggie Miller is that not only could he score, but he brought the Pacers back in games so many times. I remember watching and this is when I was really getting into playoff basketball against the New York Knicks, against just teams would try to stop him, but he was just, he knew he had to help the team. I mean, he had Jermaine O'Neal. He had Greg Foster, I think it was. And he was just – the guy would just play really well. I mean, this was later in his days, but, I mean, he was still making the playoffs and stuff. But if you look at it, he's just unbelievable. He would take a three-point shot 5 feet behind. I think just yesterday, the other day, against the Houston Rockets, Patrick Beverley, here he is, meeting him at half court. Patrick Beverley takes 4 steps forward, Curry takes 2 steps ahead, shoots a three, boom, from like almost 3 feet ahead of the half court line. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. This guy, you can't stop him. You'll see this. If you leave Curry open, I believe right now they have a stat that he's shooting 62% from, what is it called? From 20 feet or something like 28 feet or something like that. Or, I don't know. It's in front of the 3-point, like a mid range. He's shooting like unbelievable rate, like a layup rate. I mean, this guy, he's the best shooter. I think when it's all said and done, Curry will be the all-time greatest shooter of the NBA history. I honestly thought that, like, 3 years ago when I can't remember what year Kevin Durant won the MVP in, but I thought Kevin Durant was going to be the greatest shooter. But over these years, since Stephen Curry doesn't have ankle problems no more, I mean, he's just turned it on the last 3 years. He's been great. So I think, in my opinion, one final shot, NBA final, I'm going to give it to Ray Allen. But if we're talking greatest shooter, when it's all said and done, Stephen Curry is going to be right there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think I said Stephen Curry is one guy in this list that can get his own shot anytime he wants it. I mean, we didn't really talk too much about Steve Nash there, but I mean, he was a three-time MVP. But he didn't really look for a shot. He was sort of like a secondary. He wanted to get the assists, but he was still a great shooter. I think he deserved to be on that list as well. All right, so we're going to take the next one here, and this is with two current NBA players. One guy we just talked about, Stephen Curry, and with this other guy that we haven't even brought up yet, that's LeBron James. Of course, the debate right now is who is the better player in the NBA, Steph Curry or LeBron James? Who you got?
Hey, Jeff, you're getting a static on your side. But, so you were saying LeBron James and Stephen Curry, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear me okay now?
No, you're still getting a lot of static.
All right, go ahead and give me your argument for LeBron or for Curry, and then I'll see if I can fix this issue with the sound.
No, now it sounds great right now.
Okay.
Right. I know what everybody's thinking right now. Oh, he's a LeBron James fan. Of course he's going to pick LeBron. I'm not going to be biased here, but it's just LeBron James right now, I think he's better than Curry. Like, are we? My question is, are we talking legacy or are we talking current NBA, like right now? That's my question to you.
Right now, currently right now, if you were to say so-and-so is the best player in the NBA right now, who you got?
Okay, if we're talking right now, I'm going to say Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry, I mean, the guy, he can do it all. He can shoot, he can pass the ball, he can play defense, and he makes his team better. I mean, when they didn't have Stephen Curry, they lost 2 games, if I'm correct. And, I mean, they're what, 48-4 right now?
Yep.
They have the best record. I mean, they have the best record since the Bulls team, the 72-10. I mean, if you look at that, that's incredible. I mean, there's no way I can say that LeBron's better because, one, he plays in the Eastern Conference. In my opinion, I think the Eastern Conference is weaker. Two, the record. And three, the numbers. If you look at Stephen Curry's number, his shot is outrageous. I mean, I think the guy's shooting like, what, 50% from field goal? Let me see if I can find the exact stats. I should have pulled up his stack right away. But I know it's like 60, 40. I think he's, hold on 1 second. But he's just a better shooter. And the record, it's the record. I mean, if they break that record, Curry's legacy will go so much higher. I mean, that's what I'm looking at mainly. It's the record. I think he's 30 now, and his team, they don't have that chemistry yet. They're not clicking like they were in the finals. I mean, in the finals, and not the finals, in the playoff. But I think if they'll pick it up, they can match the Warriors. But you look at it's beautiful watching the Warriors play. They play team ball. It doesn't matter what rotation they have in there. The other day, they have Maurice Bates, Leandro Barbosa, Stephen Curry, what's his name? The other guy that's not Andre Iguodala, and then it's not Leandro, but Sean Livingston. That's a small ball court, and they were passing the ball and we were making it look so easy. LeBron doesn't make it look easy out there.
No, you're
right. The Warriors are a blown out team.
Yep, I agree.
The Warriors are a blown out team. Yeah, I'm going to go Stephen Curry here.
Now, I'm going to go a little contrarian here because, you know, this is what we got to do here. I think if I were starting a team right now, I think Steph Curry is the one I would take. But I'm going to take, if we're just going strictly best player in the game right now, I'm still taking LeBron, and I'll tell you why. LeBron James last year in the finals was superhuman. I mean, he almost beat the Warriors team on his own. They took the best two players off of LeBron's team. You know, Kyrie Irving was gone. Kevin Love was gone. And LeBron James still was able to, you know, win a couple games against, you know, the best team in the NBA. I think if you took Draymond Green and Klay Thompson off the Warriors and had them go up against LeBron James' full-powered Cavs, I think the Cavs would have won that series. I don't think Steph Curry is good enough yet to carry a team of nobodies to an NBA final championship, whereas I think LeBron has basically done it twice because he did it in Cleveland his first time around when he had nobody on his team, basically. He didn't win one, obviously. He went there and, you know, got beat, but he got there on his own. And then I think, you know, what he did in the finals, I don't think Steph Curry could have done that. I don't see Steph Curry putting the team on his back the way LeBron did and just playing out of his mind. I mean, what do you think? Do you think Steph Curry could have done what LeBron did last year in the finals?
No. And there's never going to be a player that can do what LeBron. I mean, it's just LeBron led the NBA final last year in point, assist, and rebound. That never happened in the history of the NBA final. And if you look at it, the guy was playing basketball by himself, basically. It was 1 versus 5. You knew it. every game. I mean, the first game, Kyrie Irving played, but he got hurt. And this is what I have to say about this. You are right about that. If we're talking NBA playoffs, I'm going to say LeBron James is a better player, because there is something about LeBron James in the NBA playoffs that makes his game elevate to another level. And a lot of people say during the season that LeBron James kind of gives like a half-ass effort. Yeah, I wouldn't say half-ass, but I say he's given a, 90% effort. But when it comes to the playoffs, he gives 110%. This guy, his goal is to demolish you, to destroy you in whatever way he can. And with no Kevin Love, no Kyrie Irving, no Anderson Varejão. I'm not saying Anderson Varejão is great, but he's still a good player to come off the bench if you need him in certain situations. But we're looking right now at this team where they have all these players healthy. Now, put him against the Warriors, I think in the NBA Finals, and I know that's going to be the NBA Finals. There's nobody in the East that's going to beat Cleveland. I mean, the only team that I think that can beat Cleveland, and it's only if they stay healthy, in my opinion, I think it's the Miami Heat. That's the only team that can beat Cleveland, because they have a really good defense. And yeah, they can match up with the Heat pretty well.
That's not what I thought you were going to say, but yeah, I agree with you on that. If Miami got that far, they could definitely, I think, give the Cavs a run for their money.
But yeah, I do agree with you on that. I mean, coming to playoff and stuff, LeBron just a monster. I mean, Curry, and that's the thing a lot of people were saying, oh, Curry last year, he doesn't have the experience in the NBA Finals, so I wouldn't exactly say the Warriors are going to dominate. And I think if the Cleveland Cavaliers would have stayed healthy, I honestly believe they probably would have won the NBA final. But, we can't predict injuries. It happens to the best team. Any team, it happens to them. But hopefully Kyrie and Kevin Love can stay healthy. I mean, as long as we don't have Kelly Olynyk ripping the shoulder out of Kevin Love, yeah. Oh, that would be ridiculous.
All right, so now that we're sort of on the Warriors, talking about them a little bit, let's go ahead and talk about two teams that obviously are being compared quite a bit. I actually have an article coming up pretty soon that's going to address this a little bit as well. But, of course, talking about the record-setting Chicago Bulls team, the 95-96 team that went 72-10, versus the current Warriors team that looks pretty much primed to beat that record. Who do you have as the best team?
Here's the thing, and we already talked about this already. Different eras. To me, the better team is the Bulls. But it's not even close to me either. And I know it's going to shock a lot of people saying, "Well, it's not close." I mean, they're going to break the record, though. Records are meant to be broken, Nobody ever thought the home run record in baseball was going to be broken, There's so many records. I mean, if you think about it, they're meant to be broken. But it's a different era. I'm going to say the Bulls era is more impressive compared to our era, my era right now. Because, one, the hand check, I mean, you could basically, hand check a player before he comes to the 3-point line. The ref wouldn't call a foul. You could push up against them, put the forearm on them. Ref wouldn't call a foul. Two, the dynamic of the Bulls defense. They had Rodman, they had Ron Harper, they had Jordan, they had Pippen. Those four guys right there, great defensive players. And then the thing is, I always say this, defense wins championship. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people learned that in the Super Bowl this year. Yeah. But the thing is, let's compare the players. And we can do this back and forth. Point guard. I believe the point guard was Ron Harper, and we can do Stephen Curry. Obviously, we know Stephen Curry is the better player. But if we go to shooting guard, we have Michael Jordan versus Klay Thompson. Now, a lot of people are going to say that Klay Thompson's a good defender, a good defensive player. To me, he's all right. Jordan, he didn't need the size. He's smaller than Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson 6'7", Jordan 6'6", but in weight, it's a little bit different. But Jordan, the way he played, he could beat you mentally and physically. He could bully you. And Klay Thompson, he's not going to stop Michael Jordan. No one could stop Michael Jordan, so that's not going to be him. Then we're shooting forward. Scottie Pippen versus, I don't know. I don't know who starts. I mean, there's always
Harrison Barnes.
Harrison Barnes. Yes. So Harrison Barnes. I mean, you got a Hall of Fame versus Harrison Barnes that's currently, you know, when it's all said and done, Harrison Barnes will be a pretty decent player. He's still pretty young. I mean, Pippen just more stronger, more physical, smarter, and just a better player overall. And then we got Draymond Green versus Dennis Rodman. I mean, no offense to Draymond Green. He thinks he can be a defensive player of the year. He's a good defender, but I don't think he's a defensive player of the year just yet. He can improve, but that Warrior defense is a team effort. I don't think it's just him taking the team to the next level. While you look at Dennis Rodman, I believe he made that Bulls team. He was the glue of the defense. He made that whole defense good. Jordan had a great defense, but Rodman, he takes care of the dirty work. He takes care of the big guys. I mean, back in them days, the big guys were pretty tough. You look at Carmelo, you look at Charles Barkley, you look at Hakeem Olajuwon. I mean, we're looking at these big centers. I mean, even Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, he was pretty tough. But Dennis Rodman, he had that mentality where he's going to be more aggressive than you. He's going to be more – he's going to hustle. I mean, this guy was crazy. I mean, not just his hair, but he was crazy. But then you look at the center, we have – go ahead, Jeff.
I was going to say, Rodman is the only guy that I've ever seen in the NBA that can get the crowd to cheer when he made a rebound. I mean, the guy would literally, like, gyrate his body. I mean, he would, you know, tap it 10 times to himself before he can grab it. And, you know, and the crowd would literally cheer that he got the rebound because he was just that adamant about getting the rebounds. Like, that's all he wanted to do was grab rebounds. And he's the only person I've ever seen that can get the crowd to cheer that.
Oh, yeah. And the thing was that Rodman wasn't much of like a shot blocker, but he had the IQ. His IQ was so freaking high that you had to think about your shot selection. You have to look it up. You look it up on YouTube. There's a video of Rodman versus Shaquille O'Neal. He made Shaquille O'Neal. He was Shaquille O'Neal's daddy, basically. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Shaquille O'Neal struggled so bad against Dennis Rodman. So bad. And we know how great Shaquille O'Neal is. But Dennis Rodman, he could get in any player's face and make him worse. And I'm not going to say, there's no way I'm going to say that Draymond Green's a better player than Shaquille O'Neal or a better player than Karl Malone or Charles Barkley, all these guys, you know. These guys are Hall of Fame. We got Draymond Green. I mean, the guy is what? This year was his first All-Star?
Yep.
So, but this is what set this team apart, though. The center position, we have Bogut versus Luke Longley. To me, I think Bogut's a better player, better defensive player, better rebounder, and he just has a better all-around game. But then when we go from there, what sets him apart is the bench. The bench. The Warriors have a really good bench, and we know that. They could put in their worst five players on the bench, and I can bet you they can beat the 76ers or they can beat the Phoenix Suns. They can beat a normal team, you know. Oh, well, not a normal team, but, you know, the worst team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But when we look at the Bulls, they had Steve Kerr. What was that guy's name? Crap. I already forgot.
So they had Steve Kerr. They had now you're touching my memory, too. I can't think of who they had. They had Jed Bushler. I remember that guy. They had
Tony Kukoc.
Tony Kukoc, yep.
How did I forget about Tony Kukoc? So Tony Kukoc, is what Andre Iguodala is to the Warriors. So we have to make a comparison there. Six man for six man. But the way I put it, I always pick defensive player over player. Tony Kukoc was a great offensive player. He was never a great defensive player. So I'm going to pick Andre Iguodala on that one. But the thing is, people don't realize that Andre Iguodala, if he wants to score, he can score.
Mm-hmm.
He can shoot threes. And he can't shoot a damn free throw, but he can shoot threes. It makes me laugh because they did the Hacker Shack in the NBA final with Andre Iguodala. So it's ridiculous, but if we go to Tony Kukoc, you could sub in Tony Kukoc and take out Scottie Pippen, and Michael Jordan and him would score. They would light up the scoreboard. I mean, I'm not saying Tony Kukoc was a great, you know, offensive player. I mean, he's good, but I give Andre Iguodala the edge there. But then we got Steve Kerr versus Leandro Barbosa. I'm going to pick Steve Kerr. In my opinion, I think Steve Kerr is one of the greatest spot-up shooters in the NBA. He was a scrappy player. He does everything right. Everything. And that's the reason he's a coach now, obviously, because he had a high basketball IQ. Whatever he needed to do, he got it done. But if we look at Leandro Barbosa, he provides energy. But then Steve Kerr, you knew what you were going to get out of him. I'm going to go with Steve Kerr on this one. But like I said, the comparison's very close, but I think defense wins championship. I'm going to pick the Bulls because I don't care even if you say let's play them in the Warriors era. I still think their defense is good enough, man on man, compared to back then, to beat the Warriors, because the Warriors have never faced a team like the Bulls' defense. I mean, the closest I can think of in this era right now is the Spurs' defense. And I'm not saying the Spurs are a horrible defense, but they're a great defense. But if you compare Rodman, Pippen, and Jordan, I think the only person that has that elite defense is Kawhi and Duncan. There's not a third guy on that team that has that kind of defense. But I'm going to go with the Bulls on this one.
Yeah, I'm obviously on the Bulls, too. I mean, we went through Jordan and Pippen, and obviously if I took both of those guys in their respective matchups tonight, obviously I'm going to take the Bulls team as well. And I think it does come down to defense. Now, I think it would be a different game if the Bulls played in the Warriors' era, just because the Bulls couldn't impose their will, so to speak, defensively on the Warriors like they could if the Warriors went to the Bulls' era and played. But the argument comes up a lot with the small ball of the Warriors, and, you know, that they would go small and the Bulls wouldn't be able to match it. And I counter that with this. I think the Bulls could go small. They could basically take out Luke Longley, move Dennis Rodman to the center position, which he played before many times. As you said, he actually matched up against Shaquille O'Neal. So they move Rodman to the center position. They'd move Pippen to power forward. They'd have Tony Kukoc there at the small forward position. Jordan's still the two guard, and they can either go with Steve Kerr or Ron Harper at the point guard. And I think what they would actually end up doing is probably putting Ron Harper on Klay Thompson and then leaving Jordan on Curry. And then obviously Pippen would guard either Draymond Green, Harrison Barnes, one of those guys. And I think, you know, obviously Rodman, I think, would probably take Draymond Green at the five. And I think that small ball lineup, their weakness, obviously, defensively would be Tony Kukoc, but I think offensively, I think they'd have the advantage there. So I think that small ball lineup, I would actually like on a defensive side more than I would for the Warriors side of the ball, if that makes any sense. And I think the Bulls could definitely run with the Warriors. And if they were able to impose their will defensively, and I think the key matchup would be Rodman and Draymond Green, because I think Draymond Green's sort of the emotional glue of the Warriors, more so than Curry is. I think he feeds off the crowd. He's a very emotional player. He's the one making all the screams and the crazy gyrations of his arms, and he's just the one that kind of gets the crowd pumped up. And I think Rodman would see that kind of player and want to get inside his head. And I think he could. I think he would be scrappy. I think he'd be hard fouling him. You know, he'd be, you know, doing all the little things that Rodman did to get inside your head and just frustrate you. And I think once he got inside Draymond's head, I think it would be pretty much over for the Warriors, because I think the Warriors would, you know, they'd have still have Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry, but Draymond Green kind of makes that team go. You know, he's sort of their do-it-all. He, you know, rebounds, he defends, you know, he scores. And Robin would take him out of the game and make it basically Klay Thompson and Steph Curry shooting jump shots all night.
Oh, yeah. I can't agree with you anymore. And people don't realize this, but mentally, psychologically, is a big part of basketball. Getting in people's head. And Michael Jordan is the greatest trash talker of all time. Dennis Rodman is the most annoying basketball player of all time. I mean, trust me, there's a difference. Jordan would just, he would tell you this. All right, I'm going to go right, and I'm going to shoot at the free throw line. And he would do it. He would tell you, I'm going to drive it in, and I'm going to dunk it right on your face. He would do it. Yep. You know? You don't talk trash to Michael Jordan. Now, Dennis Rodman, on the other hand, while you're posting up on him, he would tell you this. Yeah, come on, boy, bring it back in. Come on, boom. And he would bump you. He'd say, come on, is that all you got? You know, it's like he basically kind of started a fight. I can't tell you when I saw, of course, like I told you, I live in Utah. Dennis Rodman and Karl Malone, I thought they were going to kill each other. I mean, I know they did the WCW, but, you know, it's entertaining stuff when it comes to Rodman. But people never realize how big of a trash talker and how much Michael Jordan could get in people's head. And that's why I think Jordan can get in Stephen Curry's head. And people don't realize that also. Ron Harper was a really good defensive player. And he wasn't no bum. He could get up on your face.
Yeah, he definitely would.
I think he could take Klay Thompson. And Ron Harper is not very short either, if I'm correct.
Yeah, he's 6'5", 6'6", I think.
Yeah, so, I mean, you got a pretty good matchup there. And the one thing is, I have to say this. Curry is faster than I was about to say LeBron James. Michael Jordan. But he's not quicker. Michael Jordan could get to a spot because his basketball IQ of defense. In my opinion, I think Michael Jordan's the greatest perimeter defensive player to ever play the game.
Yeah, I'll go with you on that one. All right, so we're running up against the clock here, so we're just going to skip down to the last question that we have here. This is one that you actually had kind of brought up to me, and I said, we'll go ahead and throw it in the podcast. So all the talk now, of course, is, you know, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, where are they going to go at the end of the season? Are they going to go to L.A.? Are they going to stay in Oklahoma? You know, where are they going to go? So in the aftermath of Kobe, if you were the Lakers right now and you could have only one of the guys, if you could have Kevin Durant or Russell Westbrook, but not both, which one are you going for?
It depends. Am I allowed to make a trade?
Sure. If that's how you're going to get them, then yeah, you can make a trade as well.
Okay. I would trade D'Angelo Russell to the 76ers for Jahlil Okafor and then go with Kevin Durant. Russell Westbrook.
Okay, I was like, trade my point guard and you can get a small forward. That makes no sense, but okay.
No. I'm going to go with Westbrook. And the reason I say Westbrook is because Westbrook is from L.A. He's from, I believe, I can't remember. He's the same place from Paul Pierce. I don't know where he's from. Crap, I forgot. But he's from the L.A. area. He went to UCLA. I mean, this is his dream. This is what he's always lived up to. I mean, what a perfect story would it be for Westbrook to carry the Lakers franchise? I mean, you'll have Okafor at the center, Julius Randle at the power forward. Shooting guard and shooting forward, they're obviously the Lakers, so they can get anybody in free agency. I mean, if they get Westbrook. You get Westbrook in there, I guarantee you can get another player as a shooting forward or shooting guard. I mean, right now, in my opinion, I don't think they're great. You're not going to have Ron Artest at shooting forward, hopefully.
Hopefully not.
But, yeah, I'll pick Westbrook on this one.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning Westbrook as well. And just to, you know, clarify where he's from Long Beach, California. So you're right, he's from California. He's a California guy. And I'll tell you why. And I think Russell is more of an L.A.-type player, whereas Kevin Durant, I don't think his personality fits in L.A. I think L.A. might be too big for him, if that's you know, how I could put it. You know, he's very a humble, you know, superstar. He's not the flashy, I want to self-promote, I want to do this, do that. You know, he's very humble. And I think L.A. might be too big for him. I think if he went out to L.A., the media would eat him alive. He might not play as well on the court. I think if I had a guess, I would say Durant stays in OKC, just because I think he's got a good thing there. I think he's the kind of player that, you know, wants to finish what he started, basically. But yeah, I see Russell going to LA, you know, chasing the lights. You know, he's all over the TV. Every time you turn on any kind of NBA game, there's like 10 Westbrook commercials coming on. You got Tim promoting video games. He's promoting, like, what is it, Mountain Dew or something. He's all over the place.
Yeah.
So I think LA fits Russell.
Yeah, but he's like you said, he's entertaining. And he's got it on the court, too. I mean, the thing is Kevin Durant, he is what he is. He's the Silent Reaper. I mean, I think that's his nickname, and right, that's what they call him. But Westbrook, he just, his ego is so big, and you can tell it's big because the way he plays, the way he's so aggressive, and the person he is. I mean, I love watching Westbrook play, but when it comes to Kevin Durant, he does it in like a very quiet way. He just plays the game. He reminds me a lot like Larry Bird. Bird talks a lot of trash too, but Kevin Durant, if you get him fired up, he'll talk some trash too. I mean, I know one thing. Kevin Durant hates the media.
Yeah.
So if he went to LA, the media would be on his ass. And trust me, he's not going to enjoy the spotlight. I honestly believe, and you better hope for it too, because I think Kevin Durant could leave and go to Washington.
Hey, yeah, that's the talk here is in Washington, D.C. They've been talking about it for 2 years now. They've had it pegged like, oh, we're going to get Durant. We're going to get Durant. So I guess we'll see what happens out here.
I think he has a good heart. And I honestly think everybody thinks he's going to go to the Warriors. I honestly think he'll leave and go to Washington. He's a big hometown boy. He loves Washington. And if you watch his MVP speech, you could tell how much he cared about Washington, where he grew up, where he came from. And I think he'll go over there. I feel bad for Oklahoma because, one, they were the Seattle Supersonics, and they left the city. Then again, now these fans that followed them all the way over there, I mean, Oklahoma became fans of the team, but you have your two best players leaving?
Yeah.
That would suck.
Hey, I've lived that all my life, man. As a Pelicans fan, we pretty much had great players leave all the time, and we lost Alonzo Mourning and Baron Davis and Chris Paul left us. So we basically would – Larry Johnson went to New York. It was like one after the other. So when we finally signed Anthony Davis to an extension, you know how happy I was. It's like, finally, we drafted a good player, and we kept him. Let's hope that we can do something with that now.
Dude, don't even bring up the Pelicans. You guys beat my Jazz, and I was pissed, man. I was
yeah,
I was like, how do we lose? How do we lose to the Pelicans?
I was actually in the hospital. For those that don't know, I was in the hospital for a few days. I was in the hospital for that game, and I had no service on my phone. And the only game that I had on TV was the Houston and Golden State game, so I missed the game. But all right, man, we're going to be wrapping this up because we're up against the clock. I appreciate you coming on the show. I kind of can't wait for DFS to get started back up again. I can't believe we got to wait a whole week for it. But we're going to enjoy.
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah, I thought for sure that I was like, oh, they'll probably start back Tuesday, Wednesday at the latest. And I looked and I was like, Thursday? I was like, oh my goodness. All right. So
I blame this on LeBron James. I blame this All-Star break, a week long. I blame it on LeBron James because he cried for years saying, oh, we need a longer break. He's a baby. All-Star break should only be a weekend and that's it.
Agreed. All right, man. Well, you take it easy and we will – meet up again sometime maybe next week so we can preview some of the games coming up next week. Enjoy All-Star Weekend, man. Yep. Good night.
Yep. You have a good night, too. Bye.